Welcome to Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I'm delighted to be joined by Kate Wicker, who is a wife, mom, and journalist. She is the senior writer and health columnist for Faith and Family magazine and has written for a whole variety of regional and national media, including Atlanta Parents, Catholic Exchange, Children's Ministry, Family Fun, Pregnancy, and Women's Day. With Kate Wicker, we're going inside the pages of Weightless, Making Peace with Your Body, published by Servant Books. Kate, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
I love Weightless, Making Peace with Your Body. Because of the Catholic approach that you took, it's so much more. Thank you.
Well, you know, I really wanted to take a Catholic approach because in my own struggles with body image, as well as a clinical eating disorder, I did so much reading. There were tons of, you'd go into a bookstore in the self-help section, and there's tons of stuff from dieting books to making peace with your body to cultivating temperance with food, but so much of it was not from a Christian perspective and much less a Catholic approach. And then I also found there was a lot of New Agey kind of things, I can see where they might inspire some people, but it just wasn't taking the approach of the Catholic Church, how we look at human dignity for not just body image, for aging, motherhood, all these different sort of topics that change the way we see ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so I just really felt called to write a book of this nature, not just for people with clinical eating disorders, but for anyone who maybe has felt not good enough in their body for whatever reason. Maybe someone who even, you know, struggled with cancer and their body has changed because of that, or aging, or motherhood. I know a lot of women, as much as we feel blessed, having just had a new baby about mm-hmm. a week ago, as much as we have feel so blessed to have this precious new life, you know, our bodies do change. They go through a lot to bring forth new life. And so how we make peace with these changes. And the Catholic Church has been such a blessing to me. I started collecting quotes and inspiration, over the last probably 5 or 6 years, just that helped me. And then I thought, you know what, maybe I should try and share this with other people, because there were so many women I talked to that struggled at some point in their life, whether they have always been on a diet trying to lose that last 5, 10, 15 pounds, whether they were struggling with aging, they feel younger than they actually look when they look in the mirror. So there were lots of different people that seemed to struggle with this, and I just think that the church can really uplift us and change the way we see our bodies.
Well, I'm going to say this several times through the course of the interview, so everybody get ready and get your pencils. The name of the book is called Weightless, Making Peace with Your Body. And Kate, I really feel this book is the book that not only for individual women to be able to take into prayer to reflect with, but also for groups of women, those who gather maybe in a prayer group or a book reading group or whatever, they come together, because each chapter is not only a bind to terms or how to look in a healthy way at our bodies, but it's also filled with the opportunities to enter into spiritual contemplation. Again, you bring up the writings of saints, and one in particular, one who I love so much, is Blessed John Paul, who just loved women.
Yep.
Such a beautiful way, because of his devotion, I really truly believe, to the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Definitely. Yeah, his writings have really inspired me, and you know, I pulled from several of his writings for the book. And, you know, when you mentioned having it translate to a group setting, one thing that I really, when I was talking to my editor and my publisher when we were sort of still in the formulating, you know, how the book would come out, I said, you know, I really want it to be something that you can read through, a busy mom or a busy wife, a busy woman, and then also just keep on your bookshelf where you can go back for reference. Because what mm-hmm. I've found, even though I'm clinically recovered, I've found that some of these body image struggles, you know, they're spiritual attacks, and they're things that we have to sort of be on guard against our whole life. And I used to feel weak or like, why can't I just get over this? And then I've realized that, you know, this is something that is helping me to grow it's sanctifying. It's helping me to be a better person God created me to be with some of these struggles. And instead of thinking of myself as weak, I just need to return again and again to the scripture or the saints. So I created this soul food section, sort of hoping that people could go back to that if they found themselves struggling with a certain issue, you know, that they could really return to that and keep that on their bookshelf, sort of to offer a spiritual balm, if you will, when they were struggling. Because I think I mentioned something about in the Garden of Eden, you know, the devil giving Eve this apple, and I sort of feel like society is giving women apples all the time, saying, hey, if you do this, if you, you know, get Botox, you'll be better. If you lose 20 pounds, you'll be better. If you wear this flashy, revealing outfit, people will notice you more. And, you know, it's kind of a struggle for women in this society, and being the mom of three daughters, I think it's made me even more aware. And we can just keep denying those apples with God's grace and, you know, all these this great wisdom from saints and scripture and so forth.
Well, and I think as you, again, bring forward the writings of Blessed Pope John Paul II, especially in that letter to women,
mm-hmm.
that beautiful, beautiful letter, he talks about how women are such heart people.
That,
yep. And that's exactly how the evil one is going to get us. Because
exactly. It, he goes straight for that.
Exactly. In our hearts, there are emotions, and everything is, you just know this, don't we? All women out there listening. And I think the guys need to be aware of this too, that everything tells us we're not thin enough, we're not pretty enough, we're not good enough.
Exactly.
And we want to be not just for ourselves, but for the people that we love.
Yep. And I think women can go one or there's two directions that women go. Sometimes we deny, we say, okay, I can't deal with this societal pressure. I don't have to, like, beauty is, you know, maybe the radical feminist approach. I'll be more like a man. And this is what Blessed John Paul talks about, too, is that we need to embrace this nurturing, these gifts that God has given us, and not deny them. And then the other route is to become so obsessed with looking a certain way. So I think we can kind of go, and we need to find that middle ground that we are God's design for beauty. He designed us so that we could nurture people and love our children and our husband, or if we're spiritual mothers, if we don't get married and are called to a different life, we're all praying and spiritual mothers in some way. We take care of people. That's just what we do. And we shouldn't ever deny that. We should embrace that and find our beauty within our vocation rather than within the magazine, you know, the fashion magazines.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We're talking to Kate Wicker, Weightless, Making Peace with Your Body. It is so much more than just about a body image book. It's about a whole person image look. I mean, trying to realize what our true identity is. And that was something that, you know, really, even you recognize as a young girl, you were assaulted, essentially, mm-hmm. in this idea of this is what I should be looking like. And how you really had to battle with that.
Yeah, it breaks my heart. I'm so thankful right now that my oldest is about to be 7, and so far she's completely body unaware. You know, she loves that she can run fast on the soccer field, that sort of thing. But, I mean, the first memory I had was when I was 9, just of feeling not good enough and feeling like my body wasn't what it was supposed to be, and really struggling. And I think it probably started before then, but that was the first real memory I have. And it's just so sad that, and I just recently read a study that it's not uncommon for girls as young as 6 years old to start their first diet. And we've mm-hmm. got to think, gosh, what is going on here? That little girls who should be running around playing outside and, you know, pretending and having tea parties and all this other stuff, climbing trees, whatever, they're worried about the way they look and their weight. And since I've written this book, I've had a few moms, you know, email me. I had one recently that said her 10-year-old daughter, they were trying on clothes for the school year and some of the clothes was tight. And instead of recognizing that that's a good thing, she's growing and she should be growing, she said she was fat and started crying, and it just broke my heart. And the mom was sort of asking, you know, what can I do? And I'll tell you right now, it's a difficult battle for us moms of daughters. It's an uphill battle because of all the societal pressures. But I do believe that with God's grace, and if we can teach them, you know, some of the truths of the Catholic Church. One thing that may sound sort of silly, but what I always try and do with my girls is, ideally I do it every day, but I try and at least weekly, you know, look them in their eyes and say, I love you, are, because that's how God loves us. And I just don't want them to cave in to anything thinking that they're not good enough, they're not pretty enough, they're not whatever enough, because we are enough because we are human beings, not human bodies. And just to really teach them that, and to also teach them that it's great to take care of your body. These are temples of the Holy Spirit. You know, God gives us our bodies. He gives them to us on loan, and we have a responsibility to fuel them with healthy foods and to exercise, but it should never be a punitive, a punitive measure that we're exercising because we ate too much, or, you know, we're not going to, food shouldn't be good or bad. I really try and just say food is food, and if we occasionally want to eat some cookies, you know, we baked some cookies this week, that's great. You know, it's not poison. We don't need to be associate guilt with food or food with morality. You know, food is to fuel us. And so I try and impart those sort of lessons with my daughters. And I hope that young women, if there are any young women listening, that you can just see that you are just so beautiful because you are, and God created you that way. And He loves variety, too. He doesn't want us to all look the same way. It'd be kind of boring if we all looked exactly the same.
Well, it's so difficult, especially for those in the teen years now and the early 20s, that everything on television, everything that they're encountering when they go shopping or hanging out with their friends at malls or wherever they may go, it's so sad.
You walk through the mall and you look at all the mannequins, and they're so unrealistic. And, I mean, the mall is a dangerous place these days to walk through as far as body image goes for young girls. And I am glad that you mentioned, you know, I'm not pushing in the book, I really try hard. I'm not pushing a heavier aesthetic over a thin one. What I'm really trying to encourage women, young women, girls, is I think we all have a certain weight, a certain beauty that God has given us, that if we eat healthy, exercise, unless we have some underlying health issues, you know, we can arrive at that place, and that's who God created us to be. But that aesthetic ideal for me personally might be very different than it is for someone else, and it might not look like the Hollywood glamour queen. Some of us may be blessed with genes that help us to look like that when we take care of our bodies, but we just need to just accept the way we were created, and know that our soul too is just, I mean, somebody asked me recently who I thought was a beautiful woman, and you know, my mom, number one, is just beautiful to me because of who she is on the inside and outside. But my 90-year-old grandma, who I write about briefly in the book, you know, she certainly isn't the epitome of youth anymore and, you know, youthful beauty, that sort of thing. But she just has such a strong faith and is just so full of wisdom, and I just love talking to her. She is just so beautiful to me, and that proves to me that beauty isn't just this outer shell. You know, there's something so much deeper that shines through. Someone who has lived a very Godward life, her faith is very strong, and that's what makes her beautiful to me.
I'm glad you brought up those of us who are in our, you know, our later years. I'm just hit 50, Kate. It's been kind of a struggle for me because that was always a watershed age limit for me, and I look in the mirror and I think, wow, I'm beginning to see my grandmother. But then on the other hand, I loved my grandmother. I loved the way she looked. And you know, but everything on television is telling you, well, that 50 is now the new 40. And
I know.
What's wrong with just being 50?
Exactly.
You know, so I think that's something that we struggle with.
My mom, it's funny that you mentioned, she's closer to 60 now, but when she turned 50, she said, I never really struggled with vanity or any, and she said, but when all of a sudden I felt younger than what I looked like in the mirror, and it was just sort of startling, I remember her telling me, and we had a long discussion about it, and, you know, I just think it is difficult, and I certainly haven't arrived at that point yet, but my mom has really talked about, but then her mother actually died when my mom was only 17, and my mom said what really helped her is thinking, gosh, but I'm alive, you know, I have these grandchildren, and what a blessing it is to earn these wrinkles, these gray hairs. And it's kind of hard to think about it that way, but I think that we have to remember that we don't have sell-by dates, and that our life just keeps getting, if we let it, keeps getting richer, and we gain so much wisdom and perspective as we age, and we need to see it, you know, as a blessing, even if it sometimes is startling when we look in the mirror. And then also just the reassurance that, you know, maybe if my mom also just lives with, she has some chronic pain issues, that you would never know it because she carries her cross with so much grace. But she said that something that is inspiring to her is that she knows that when the end of time comes for her, God will, your soul will be eternal, and then when Jesus comes again, someday we'll have these glorious bodies. Well, they'll be glorified, and so we don't have to live with these bodies that are failing us forever. And also just knowing that your soul, that is something that isn't aging, that is right. remaining new, especially with the sacrament of confession, and we can keep making it new again. It's much easier to make your soul new than to get a facelift.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, there's a whole industry now that has age-defying lotions.
Yep.
I mean, that's actually the term, age-defying.
Why are we defying age? Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And the industry that drives that, I mean, when we think about just for makeup products that we use. Now, in Weightless, Making Peace with Your Body, Kate, you do talk about that beauty of the feminine, that femininity mm-hmm. is something that we should embrace.
Exactly.
So we should, take care of your hair, take care of your body. But extremes are out of, a disordered attention can be very dangerous.
Exactly. And I talk about temperance. I think the virtue of temperance can really help guide us when it comes to food, when it comes to aging. You know, we really have to keep asking ourselves, you know, am I applying the virtue of temperance? Am I striking a healthy balance and not going to an extreme? And also, one thing I talk about is we have to really be careful not to compare ourselves to others, because I think what happens is, like me personally, I stay away from the scale because I tend to get obsessed still. Like, I'm a numbers person, and so my perfectionism, so I try and stay away from it. When I'm pregnant, my midwife doesn't make me weigh myself a lot, or she'll have me close my eyes because she understands. But for someone else, I have a friend who needed to lose some weight for health reasons, and daily weigh-ins really kept her on track, and she never became obsessed, and she has lost tons of weight, not too much, and looks great, and that has helped her. So I shouldn't judge and say nobody should ever, you know, weigh themselves, or nobody should ever use a face cream because I think we all have our own, we know when we're maybe, starting to walk into that threshold where maybe we're becoming obsessed with whatever it is. And I think spiritual direction, our spouses, if we're married, a priest, they can help us sort of see, you know, if maybe we're taking something to an extreme. Because like you said, I do think that we need to embrace our beauty, our God-given beauty, and there's nothing wrong, you know, wanting to dress nicely and to accentuate maybe some of our natural beauty with a little makeup here and there. I certainly don't think we need to forbid any of that.
Mm-hmm.
So
you lift up, of course, the Blessed Virgin Mary as a true model for women, but also for men. I mean, in loving her and understanding her, to be able to also use elements of that reverence towards the women in your own life.
Yeah, I definitely. And how we were talking about Blessed John Paul, he found through his devotion to Mary, I think he really learned, like you said, to appreciate women. And I think if we study her and we look at some of the scripture passages with her and just meditate on the mysteries of the rosary, we can really see how she just manifests the kind of beauty that we should all want to manifest. And also the way our husbands or any men in our life approach, like they would approach Mary. I think that we can learn a lot from Joseph, too, how he treated Mary in his life. And it's just so true. There's, the Blessed Mother is just such a treasure trove of wisdom for us if we study her and consecrate ourselves to her as well. We can just learn so much about ourselves, about beauty, about humility, which is such a beautiful virtue. She really inspired me a lot in this writing. And it's funny, I always had a devotion to Mary. I remember as a little girl just going to bed sometimes with the rosary and not falling asleep before I finished it. But when I became a mother, it was just even, it solidified, you know, really, gosh, how amazing this woman was, all that she said yes to with God, not only saying yes to giving birth to God and accepting him, but also yes to watching him suffer. And I just think we can just learn so much from her. She's just such an inspiration to us.
Yeah, I think, Kate, the reason weightless, making peace with your body, is a standout, and it's because it's not just a book that, forgive me if I'm trying to find the right way of saying this, but it just doesn't bash the culture all the time. It doesn't take a look at what's going on and saying this is bad, bad, bad. Instead, you bring forward those things that can be destructive to us that's out there, but also you encourage the interiority that for us to have that relationship with God, and what is he doing with us, and how can we live in the world, and how do we approach that? There's a different paradigm that you take with this that I think is, you know, eliminates the fear as much as it brings forth peace. And I think that's where beauty comes from, is that interior peace.
I agree, and thank you. You know, I did think that we have to be very careful because we live in this world. We can't, we can't avoid all these things, that the onslaught of images, and so we have to learn to live in this world. And also, I don't think it's helpful if we, all go and cloister ourselves away. That certainly is the life for some women that they're called to. But some of us are called to be out in the world and to be speaking or to be businesswomen or to be healthcare providers. When we go out into this world, or mothers, whatever our vocation is, if we can really embrace this God-given beauty and show that we find contentment, not in, I think so many of us sometimes it's, I'll be happy when I lose this last 10 pounds, or I'll be happy when this happens or that happens. And if instead we can, that mindset really can prevent us from, ever being content. And I think what we're really longing for is so much bigger than the next, acquisition or the next escape or the next 5 pounds we lose. It's deeper things. It's our faith. It's God. And I think that if we can find our confidence in him, then we can really just exude a real beauty and a peace about us in the world. And I think that's just so important. I talk a little bit about perfectionism too, and how we have to be careful to pursue perfectionism. We don't have to be perfect, but I think what we can pursue is a perfect union with God. Mm-hmm. So there's a difference between trying to be perfect and trying to be God, and trying to pursue a perfect union with him. And that's what's really helped me, is I think for so long I was trying to be perfect, perfect grades, perfect weight, or what I thought was perfect, a perfect person. And then when I became a mother in the beginning, a perfect wife, a perfect children, and boy, was I in for a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not perfect and neither are my children. So, but if I can strive to pray, and I think praying is just the best makeover of all. In prayer we find that, and it really helps us to find that contentment and peace if we can cultivate a personal relationship with our God.
Oh, absolutely. Because in that relationship, we, especially with our Father in heaven who created us, we begin to learn what our identity is. And we
exactly.
all have that unique gifts. He gives us different. So, if we have girlfriends that have this tremendous drive, and they love fitness things, they love to work out, they love to do that kind of stuff. And praise God for the gift of their enthusiasm in that area. I may be somebody who likes to read, because he didn't create us to be all the same. Am I making sense on that one?
No, you're making perfect sense, because for a large part of my life, even let's put the weight and the body image struggles aside, there were certain aspects of my personality. I'm sort of type A, and mm-hmm. and I certainly can work on tempering that, but I was trying, like I would see a mother, for instance, when I became a mom that I admired, and mm-hmm. I would think, why is my personality not more like hers? She's so laid back. She's so calm. She doesn't, like, bounce off the walls like this Energizer rabbit, bunny rabbit, like that I am. I'm going to try and be more like her. And then I just realized that, no, I'm supposed to be the best version of myself. I'm not supposed to reinvent the model, you know, and I think that we have to be so careful not to compare ourselves and to look at what God gave us, really examine our gifts, and we all have them. I had a friend recently tell me, I don't have any gifts, and I'm trying to find my vocation other than being a mom. I just love being a mom, and I don't really need anything outside of the house. And I thought, what a blessing. Like, that's mm-hmm. so wonderful that you recognize that you just love being a mom. And first of all, she does have amazing gifts. She makes the best cinnamon buns I've ever had from scratch. And if that's not a gift, I don't know what is.
Absolutely.
But,
Absolutely.
So, yeah, and so I was really trying to encourage her to see that, you know, the fact that she is so content being a mother, don't try and go looking elsewhere. You know, you don't, mm-hmm. the fact that she loves to bake, these are gifts for her. And I think sometimes we think that success and gifts, we try and equate it with what, you know, maybe is more flashy and, you know, making money or having this amazing talent. Sort of a funny anecdote for me, I've always just admired people who can sew and thought, gosh, I should really start sewing. Well, I've tried to start sewing so many times. It's just not for me, and that's okay. You know, I don't mm-hmm. need to make these smocked dresses for my daughters. I will support my friends who know how to do that, and I will stick to the things that God has given me talent for. And so I think really recognizing what, not that we shouldn't try and stretch ourselves and try new things, but really recognizing the gifts that we do have, our own temperament is so important to really understand what our temperament is like. And I think once we understand what our own temperament is like, then that can kind of help us with these spiritual struggles with weight or aging or whatever it is we might struggle with, and also with the people that God brings into our lives. We can recognize how we're different, how we relate, and I totally agree with you that we really just have to look at, you know, who we are, who we're created to be, and develop that relationship with our Father in Heaven, because that will help us kind of shed light on what our vocation is. And you mentioned Saint Therese, the little flower. I've just found so much inspiration from her mm-hmm. because she was just so content to be with the person that she was created to be. And when I read the story of the soul, her autobiography, it was just such a blessing to me, because she reveals some of her weaknesses and some of the things she struggles with, and to her so much, but yet she accepts who she is and doesn't try and change it, and just tries to be the person, make the best of these gifts and these weaknesses too that God gave her. And look, she became a saint, you know. Mm-hmm. So she's just been a real inspiration to me as well.
Well, Kate, Weightless, Making Peace with Your Body, it's begging for a sequel. It's probably going to have to be Making Peace with Your Personality, or maybe yeah, Making Peace right? with Your Temperament.
That's great. Yeah.
So, Kate, any final thoughts?
Well, I just want to encourage women out there to try and see your body, your beauty, not as an ornament, whether it's naturally beautiful by what society would say or not, but just as an instrument in which you're carrying out what God has sent you on this earth to do. You know, try and keep healthy in order to live a fulfilling life, but, you know, don't make your appearance the cornerstone of your identity. Just really go out there and share who you are, the beauty that is you. And here's to living a weightless life where we really find our peace and contentment in God, not in the scale, not in the mirror, and we let the beauty that is us really shine through to the world.
Amen. Kate Wicker, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We've been going inside the pages of Weightless, Making Peace with Your Body with Kate Wicker. To learn more about this book or to obtain a copy, go to servantbooks.org, the website for its publisher, Servant Books, or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and download this episode along with many others, go to www.insidethepages.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.